You've heard me talk about Samaritan Ministries and how believers come together to care for each other's medical needs. Well, Samaritan has recently launched Redeem HealthShare Ministry. It's an additional sharing option from Samaritan that offers flexible, affordable programs with the same biblical foundation, all through a modern digital platform. Redeem still gives you the freedom to choose your providers, as well as the option to include an exclusive add-on feature to help with expenses related to dental care, vision, routine, and preventative care. New features, new programs, new options. Check it out at RedeemHealthShare.org for more information. That's RedeemHealthShare.org for more information. Hey, we're Aaron and Jennifer Smith with Marriage After God,
helping you cultivate an extraordinary marriage.
And today we're going to talk about what God loves. Welcome to the Marriage After God podcast, where we believe that marriage was meant for more than just happily ever after.
I'm Jennifer, also known as Unveiled Wife.
And I'm Aaron, also known as Husband Revolution.
We have been married for over a decade.
And so far, we have four young children.
We have been doing marriage ministry online for over 7 years through blogging and social media.
With the desire to inspire couples to keep God at the center of their marriage, encouraging them to walk in faith every day.
We believe that Christian marriage should be an extraordinary one, full of life,
love,
and power.
That can only be found by chasing after God.
Together.
Thank you for joining us on this journey as we chase boldly after God's will for our life together.
This is Marriage After God.
Hey, thanks for joining us on a new episode. New week, new episode. We're glad to have you. We like to call you guys our Marriage After God family. So thanks for being a part of this show. You guys mean a lot to us. And before we get into the topic today, we want to invite you, if you have not done so already, to leave us a review. A star rating is the easiest way to do it. All you got to do is scroll to the bottom of the podcast app, choose a star rating, and boom, you're done. Or you can go even a little further and you can leave us a written review, which we love to read. And those reviews, those star ratings help new listeners find us. It's how all these podcast apps rank our show based off of reviews and downloads. So we'd really appreciate it if you took a moment and left us a review.
Another thing we want to let you guys know about, if you also haven't done this already, is the Marriage Prayer Challenge. We created this challenge for you as a way just to inspire your prayer life. If you are interested, it's really easy to sign up. MarriagePrayerChallenge.com.
It's completely free, and you'll get 31 emails every day reminding you and giving you prompts for what to pray for your spouse.
Not 31 emails a day. But
no, not 31 emails a day. You'll get 31 emails, one a day.
One a day for 31 days.
And it's pretty awesome. We've had hundreds and hundreds of people already sign up for it. So we just want to invite you. It's completely free. MarriagePrayerChallenge.com and take the challenge.
All right. So Aaron, you came up with this topic today. You felt inspired to talk about what God loves. Before we jump into maybe what inspired you, just off the top of your head, without looking at our notes or anything like that, what does God love?
When I was thinking about this, the first thing that came to mind was the most famous verse of all, John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever should believe in him will not perish, but have everlasting life. So that was the first thing I thought. I was like, oh, he loves his creation. He loves his people, the ones that he made in his image. So that was the first thing I thought of when was thinking about going through these verses we're going to go through today, which now that we're into the topic, the idea of this episode was, it came out of some Bible reading I was doing the other day, and I was reading in Psalms chapter 37, and there was a line in there that says, and I believe it's verse 28, and it says, for the Lord loves justice. And so I was reading it, and that I've read that a lot in the past, and I've read in other places where it talks about what God loves. But there was a moment that I said, oh, this is literally telling me one of the things that God specifically loves. It's not just talking about in general. It's saying the Lord loves this. And I thought that was a pretty impressive thing that the Bible told us something that God loves. And so I thought to myself, I was like, I wonder how many other places it tells us what God loves. Using the specific terms, the Lord loves, or God loves, or the Father loves, in regards to the God the Father. So I did that. I kind of did some research and I dug through and I found some cool verses. And I just thought this would be a fun episode to discuss the things that God loves. And I kind of also thought, like, if God loves it, maybe we should too.
So this reminds me of, I don't know if our listeners read Jeremy and Audrey's book, A Love Letter Life, but there's a part of it that I just really love, a chapter about the principle of sharing. And it's this idea that if your spouse loves something or likes something or has a hobby, you know, of some sort, then that means that there's something to love about it or something to like about it. And so it kind of reminds me of this same concept. If God loves something, there's something to love about it. And so we should be paying attention.
And probably not just something when it comes to God. It's like the thing we should love, probably. Right. And I'm sure most of these, as we go through, we'll be like, yeah, we love like that. But I guess the question we should ask ourselves as we read through these is, do we truly love the things that God loves? And at least start a prayer journey. I say, okay, Lord, like, do I love these things? And what does it look like to love these things? And why do you love them? And I don't know, maybe it'll cause our listeners to dig in to the Word of God and find out for themselves.
Well, why do you think it would be important for us to acknowledge or tune into what God loves? Why does it matter?
Well, I believe there's probably a lot of Christians out there that say they love God, say they love Jesus. But oftentimes the love is this one way kind of love. Like, we love the idea of God or Jesus, or like, oh, that, you know, the mighty power or whatever we want to call it. But like, as a Christian, I know that there's varying maturity levels and someone might say they love God, but it's a much different kind of love when you love what they love. Like, if I say I love God, then I'm going to love the things that God loves. If I say I love Jesus, Jesus even says himself, if you love me, you will obey me. Mm-hmm. And for us to obey Jesus is to essentially love the things he loves and hate the things he hates. Mm-hmm. So if he loves us loving our neighbors, then he hates us hating our neighbors, right? That's a simple contrast. But I just think if we love God, wouldn't we want to know what he loves, who he is, what he's about?
I was just going to say, this is what's already inspiring me and encouraging me about this episode, is that it's a way of getting to know God in a very specific way. And like you said, getting to know what it is he loves. And, you know, if our prayer is that our hearts are aligned with his and we are transformed to be like him, then we will love the things that he loves.
Yeah. And I think about it, the reason it surprised me so much when it said the Lord loves X, you know, this thing. I just kind of imagine it like, if I was to sit with you, Jennifer, and say, babe, would you write down just things you love? Which I think we should do. I think that'd be a little cool exercise. Mm-hmm. Like, what do you love? Like, and it doesn't have to be an exhaustive, like all million things that you love, but if you were just to boil down the simplest things that you love in life. And then I think, like, how cool is it that God did that?
Yeah.
God kind of gave us his, not definitive list of things he loves, but he writes down very specific things that he loves. And we're going to dig into those. And of course, you've heard one of them. We'll talk about that in a little bit, justice. I think that's really cool. Oh, I was listening to a pastor talking about going back to the idea of Christians saying they love God, but maybe not the things he loves. Mm-hmm. He was talking about people who say they love God, Christians, but they say things like, oh, I don't need doctrine and theology. I just need Jesus. Like, I don't need the specific words. I just need this idea. And he was saying, he's like, the problem with that is if we say we love God, don't we want to get to know him? Mm-hmm. And the only way to get to know him is through doctrine and theology, his word.
His word, yeah.
The word of God. That's the written manuscript, the written document he gave us of who he is, which is pretty powerful to think about. And so why don't we're going to dig through, and there's a handful of verses we're going to talk about, and then we're just going to discuss them. I'm going to read the verse, and then we'll talk about maybe why he loves that, just what it means to us, and how we could love those same things maybe.
Okay, so when I was going through our notes for this episode, and you know, you've been so inspired by this topic, the first thing that I thought about was Psalms 36:7, how precious is your steadfast love, O God.
I love that.
Like, how precious is it? So even the fact that we're studying it, it's like, we got to remember that it's steadfast. It's, it endures forever. Mm-hmm. You know, it's just, I love God's love. Okay.
And I also want to say that that steadfast love, I mean, mm-hmm. it's unchanging. Mm-hmm. So the things that we're going to bring up, when it says that he loves them, mm-hmm. he's unchanging. He still loves those
things.
Yeah,
he still loves it.
Even though they're maybe in the Old Testament, in some of these verses, God, what God loves, he still loves.
Yeah.
He doesn't change those things. Okay, so.
I know you already mentioned it, but let's just start.
Yeah, the first verse we're going to talk about is John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life.
The world meaning?
It's not talking people, about the system of the world.
Yeah.
Of course, it's talking about mankind. It's talking about God's creation as man, mm-hmm. in his own image. He loves mankind so much that he gave his only son. And we know this because then it says whoever, meaning men mm-hmm. or women,
right.
believes in him should not perish but have eternal life. So I think, first of all, if God loved the world so much to give his only son, how much do you think we should love people?
A lot.
A lot. And I think a lot of Christians gravitate toward this a lot of saying, like, you know, we just need to love people. We just mm-hmm. need to love people, which is awesome. But I think the level of love that this is saying, even to death, like sending a son to redeem mm-hmm. mankind, not just to love them where they're at, but to actually give them a way out mm-hmm. of the trap of death and mm-hmm. sin that we were put under bondage to because of Adam and Eve. Mm-hmm. He sent his son to give us freedom, to save his people. Not just like, oh, I love you. Here's my son's dead now. No, there was a purpose behind it. He loved people so much mm-hmm. that he sent his son Jesus to die the death that his people that he created deserve mm-hmm. so that his people that deserve to die and be in wrath don't have to preserve them, to save them, to redeem them through his son's blood mm-hmm. and death and miraculously his resurrection, which then also gives his people, the world that he loves so much, new life in him. And I think that's really powerful. So when we talk about how much we should love the world, is it like this superficial love of just saying like, oh, I love you? Or is it, you know, like it tells us in 1 Thessalonians that we are ministers of reconciliation.
Yeah.
You know, we love them so much that we're going to tell them about Jesus.
Right. And and it's not just that he loves Christians, because Romans 5:8 tells us, but God shows his love for us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Right. Like he loves all people.
All people.
Yeah.
But the love that he has is a redemptive love.
Yeah. It's
not
beautiful.
A leaving as you are love.
Yeah.
So our love should be the same. It should be a redemptive love of, we love you because God created you in his image. And so I can't look at any person and say, you're not lovable. Mm-hmm. You're not worthy. Like you just said in the beginning, if God loves a person, then there's something in them to love. Mm-hmm. And if it's the only thing that's in them is the image of God, that's way more than enough, mm-hmm. right? Mm-hmm. Because every human being bears the image of God. Mm-hmm. They're created in his likeness. But the way we love is in truth and in spirit. And so we present in love who Christ is to people, because that's the most loving thing we could do. So I just thought this one's a powerful one to think about. God loves his people.
Yeah.
Not just Christians, but the people he created, all people, all men. Hey, Marriage After God family. We wanted to take a short moment to let you know about an organization that we believe in and support. Did you know that there are more than 4 million victims of sex trafficking globally, and 99% of those are women and children? As a Christian and as a father, this truth breaks my heart. What if those were my children? What if that was my wife? Thank God there are Christ-centered organizations out there that are making a difference. Destiny Rescue is an international recognized Christian nonprofit organization dedicated to rescuing children trapped in exploitation and the sex trade. Their vision is to rescue the sexually exploited and enslaved, restore the abused, protect the vulnerable, empower the poor, and be a voice for those who can't speak up for themselves. They currently work in 7 countries around the world and have celebrated over 4,000 lives rescued from the evils of sex exploitation. Destiny Rescue has operations in Thailand, Cambodia, the Dominican Republic, and the Philippines, India, and other locations that remain undisclosed for security purposes. Since 2011, they've been working tirelessly to free children from exploitation around the world. They have helped keep hundreds more from entering the sex trade through the various prevention programs, ensured justice for those who have been wronged, and raised awareness to untold numbers. My family supports Destiny Rescue on a monthly basis, and we want to invite you to join us in saving and protecting children from this wicked industry. Visit destinyrescue.org today and become a monthly partner with us. Thank you. Okay, why don't you read the next verse and then we'll talk about it.
The next one is 2 Corinthians 9:7. Each one must give as he has decided in his heart, not reluctantly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver.
Here's another one.
This is very specific.
God loves, what does he love?
A cheerful giver.
A cheerful giver. We've talked about this in the past in episodes on generosity.
Or finances, yeah.
Or finances. And the Bible's very clear about giving. Mm-hmm. We should do it. But then it's also very clear how we should do it. Without reluctancy, without compulsion, meaning someone's not coming to me and saying, you must give. And if you don't give, you're not a, right? No, it's, I have a desire in my heart to give. And I want to do it joyfully, cheerfully. Like I'm happy to give this portion, whatever I'm going to give. I'm so cheerful to give this because I know where my reward lies. It's in heaven, not with man, not in my bank account, not in my house. So it even talks about this in the Old Testament when it talked about the tabernacle being built. God, over and over and over again, when he's giving the instructions on what should be given, he gives this command to give, but only to those who had a heart to do so, which is pretty powerful to think about. Now, I wouldn't have wanted to have been the only one in that community, in the Jewish community, not giving to the first tabernacle. Everyone, it sounds like everyone did, but they all gave out of a willing heart is what it says. They were wanting to give. They were willing to give. They were ready, and they gave whatever they could for the fulfillment of that tabernacle, the first tabernacle. And so I think it's really awesome that God loves a cheerful giver. What would you say someone could take from this who maybe is afraid of giving or doesn't like giving because of where they're at financially? Like, how could they be encouraged by this?
Well, I think the first thing is just to acknowledge that it says a cheerful giver, and there's lots of things we can give. We can give our money, our resources, our time, our energy, our effort, our love, right?
So possessions.
Our possessions. There's a lot of things that we can give in life. And so my question or my challenge would be to our listeners, consider where your heart's at today when it comes to giving and the opportunities God gives you to give. And are you someone who has decided in his heart to be a cheerful giver? Because you know what? God loves a cheerful giver.
Loves him. And
that makes me want to stop and think, am I being cheerful when I give?
I would actually give a warning also. If you are desiring to give, but it's out of a reluctant heart, like, I don't really want to do this, but I'm going to do it anyway. Or compulsion, like, oh, if I don't do this, then so-and-so is going to judge me.
You don't give and you're withholding because of those feelings. Like, that's not going to make you feel good.
No, but what I would say, if they are feeling those things, it'd be better not to give. Mm. And pray about it and say, okay, Lord, my heart isn't right.
Change me, God.
Change me, God. And have cheerfulness.
Yeah.
Or give at a level that you can be cheerful about it.
Yeah.
Right. Here's, to practice giving with a cheerful attitude.
Here's another kind of layer to this that I want to add, because we're a marriage podcast. Consider this in light of your spouse.
Ooh.
How do you give to them? I don't know why. I just felt super convicted in my own relationship with you, Aaron, and how I give to you or how I don't give to you. And
are you a cheerful giver in marriage? It's a good question for us to ask.
I should
don't
be.
Answer it. that's a great question. I think in their marriage,
consider the ways.
Are you a cheerful giver to your spouse?
Well, and consider the different ways you give to your spouse on a daily basis and what that looks like, and just spend some time thinking about it.
Yeah. And if you're ever concerned about, like, well, if I give, what does that mean? Like, how's God going to help me, like, or take care of me, or these things, right?
Don't give with expectation.
Well, what I was going to say is, at least know this: God loves it when you do it cheerfully.
Oh man,
right?
That's good.
So I would say dig into the Word of God and find out what He says about it more. Mm-hmm. But yeah, at minimum, God loves it when we give out of a cheerful heart. Okay, number three. Psalm 37, verse 28.
This is kind of what kickstarted this whole thing.
This is what kickstarted the whole thing. It says this, "For the Lord loves justice. He will not forsake his saints," which is by itself is a really powerful part of the verse. "They are preserved forever, but the children of the wicked..."
We're looking for people who have been blessed by this free podcast and our free daily marriage prayer emails and who want to help be a blessing to others. Creating and hosting this podcast and sending out our daily emails do incur a financial cost. And we want to invite you to join our faithful patron team to help financially support these resources so that they can remain free for all who need them. Please join our patron team today and become one of the faithful financial supporters who desires to help bless thousands of marriages around the world. Your support will help us pay for the creation, hosting, and promotion of our podcast and daily emails. Thank you, and we hope to see you become a Marriage After God patron.
I'll be cut off. I think that's awesome. So it was God's justice I want to talk about, because I'm sure people are like, oh, justice, like social justice? No. I just want to say right now, this is not the same thing as social justice. There's only one kind of justice in the Bible, and it's justice. God's justice is so good, and it's so complete. And if we believe in God and we believe in what he says about justice, we will have a full orb picture of what justice looks like in the world. So I just want to say that first. But think about this. It was God's justice that put Jesus to death. Because remember how we just talked about this? For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. We deserve justly to die for our sin. That's the beginning of the gospel, is recognizing who we are in this world. We are sinners deserving wrath from God because he is a perfectly just, perfectly holy God, and we are not holy, and we have missed the mark or sinned, and we have fallen short of the glory of God. So it's God's justice that put Jesus to death. So think about this. He loved his son. And we're going to learn about that in a little bit. Put him to death for his people he also loved. And then Jesus was resurrected. And now he has his son in glory and his people in glory, which is awesome. So his justice in perfect fulfillment brings salvation to the whole world for those who believe. That's incredible. So that's full, complete justice, that all men deserve death. But because of what Jesus did, all men can have life. We don't deserve life because there's nothing in us that we've done that would give us justly freedom. Only Christ did that. Because the only way we could be justified is if the penalty of our transgression was paid for. The requirement of the law must be fulfilled, and it was fulfilled in Jesus. So shouldn't we love justice too? Like, thank God he's completely just and justified us in Jesus Christ. That he didn't just pretend sin didn't exist. He didn't just say like, oh, I'm not even going to think about all those sinful things you did. And I'm not going to think about the wrath that you deserve. That would not be a just God. That would be a unjust God. Him just pretending like nothing happened. Think about a judge who sees a case and there's a murderer on the trial. And the judge just says, you know what? I'm just going to forget about the murder. It's not a big deal. What about the family that's not justice? There has to be punishment and payment for the crime. Instead, what happens is, you know, we've heard the story before. The lawyer says, I will take the punishment, right? So this is what we see. There's God loves justice and he fulfilled his justice in Jesus Christ so that we can be justified. And if that doesn't make you love justice and just love God even more. Okay, so I just want to dig into this idea of God loving justice and how good it is that he fulfilled his justice in Christ. Because listen to what happens if we don't receive the gift that God gave us in his son, Jesus. If we don't let Jesus take God's wrath on himself. In 2 Thessalonians 1, 8 through 9, it says this, dealing out retribution to those who do not know God and to those who do not obey the gospel of our Lord Jesus. These will pay the penalty of eternal destruction away from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of his power. That's what we deserve. But because of Christ, we don't receive that. Mm-hmm. If we believe in Jesus Christ, that he is Lord and that God raised him from the dead, we will be saved from that punishment that every man and woman on earth deserves. That's the gospel. So we should love that God because he's just. Mm-hmm. We don't want to love an unjust God. We want a God that is fully just and fully good. Otherwise, he's a corrupt God. but he can't be corrupt because he's fully just.
Right.
So we got to love justice. We got to love wrongs being righted,
mm-hmm.
penalties being paid, punishment being dealt. Those things sound bad, but they're good because that's what a good God, a good judge, a good system does.
Mm-hmm.
Because there are things that are wrong that need to be dealt with. Thank God he dealt with them. God doesn't just let our sin go undealt with. He actually deals with our sin. And that's just incredible. So we should love that justice because it's the right way and it's the way God has dealt with everything. So that he's not just forgetting about it, pretending it didn't happen. He's dealing with it completely, utterly, sending it into oblivion. Last verse in this idea of justice, Revelations 21, verse 4. He will wipe away every tear from their eyes, and death shall be no more. Neither shall there be mourning, nor crying, nor pain anymore, for the former things have passed away.
So this is the hope we have to look forward
to. This is the hope.
Because of what Jesus did.
Because of the justice that God dealt out on his son, Jesus,
mm-hmm.
that he paid for our sins, and we put our belief in him, as it tells us in John 3:16. This is what our hope, where our hope lies. No longer in the eternal destruction, but in eternal, you know, healing, eternal paradise, peace.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, why don't you read the next one?
Okay, Psalm 11:7. For the Lord is righteous; he loves righteous deeds. The upright shall behold his face.
Hmm.
It's good.
Yeah, this is
so
probably like
God loves righteousness.
He loves righteousness. He loves right living. He loves righteous deeds yeah. specifically. So it says the Lord is righteous. So he can't love the opposite of that, wickedness. And we actually know this because he says he hates wicked, mm-hmm. hates the wicked. But he loves righteous deeds. So he likes it when, not likes it, he loves it when we walk in the good deeds that we see Jesus walk in.
Mm-hmm.
When we love people, when we're compassionate, when we're caring, when we're generous, when we're these things that the Bible directs believers to do in the power of the Holy Spirit, of course, he loves it. He loves those things. So, I mean, that one probably goes without much description, but do we love righteousness? Do we love righteous deeds? When you think of righteous deeds, what do you think of, Jennifer?
I just think of doing the right thing. I think of being a moral person. I think of obeying God and all that he's commanded in his word.
So it's just just if you look at your own life, now this isn't like a works thing. So we're like going to do all these righteous things and that's going to make us righteous. But in Christ, through the Holy Spirit, when we walk the way God calls us to walk with each other, with our spouse, with our children, with the other believers in the body of Christ, with our neighbors, with unbelievers,
mm-hmm.
God loves it. He loves it when he sees his children walking out the things that he's prepared for us to walk out in, those mm-hmm. good deeds, the righteousness that he's given us. And we should love it too. We should love righteousness. We should cheer on when we see someone walking yeah. in righteousness.
Yeah, our kids, our spouse, friends.
And we should let them know and be like, praise God. God loves the way you're walking right now.
Mm-hmm.
God loves that thing you did. And not get jealous of it, not critique it. Maybe critique is necessary. It depends on what it is, but I'm just saying, like, if you see someone walking somewhere, say, God loves what you're doing. God mm-hmm. loves that.
That's cool. And, I would say that it's his love for us and within us that motivates us to want to be righteous.
Absolutely. And the Holy Spirit that empowers us to even do it.
Yeah.
Cause we can't do it in the flesh.
Mm-hmm. And, that Psalm that I read, it's not the only place that says this. Another Psalm would be 146:8. It says, the Lord loves the righteous. Proverbs 15:9. The way of the wicked is an abomination to the Lord, but he loves him who pursues righteousness.
Yeah. And I think about, on that's Proverbs verse, 1 John
mm-hmm.
says, he who practices righteousness is righteous. And he uses this idea of like practicing it. Like, are we getting better at becoming righteous like Christ? Is it something that we're over time learning tricks of the trade, or I should say, like we're getting better at it.
Yeah.
Practice, you know, constitutes getting better at something.
Yeah. Don't get hung up on your imperfection because I mean, I'm someone who does this too. If something's not done perfectly, I want to throw my hands up in the air and get frustrated. But like what you're saying is practicing that righteousness, you will yeah. get better over time because you're making a choice for it every day.
Yeah. And God loves it. He loves those things that we're practicing and growing in and moving forward towards and walking in. Okay. So move on to number 5. Again, we're talking about things that God loves. Hosea 3:1. Okay. And to the Lord, and the Lord said to me, go again, love a woman who is loved by another man and is an adulteress. Even as the Lord loves the children of Israel, though they turn to to other gods and love cakes of raisins. So
it's kind of random.
Yeah, but what Hosea is talking about, Hosea was a prophet, and God's using Hosea to show the people of Israel how they've committed adultery on God, mm-hmm. how they've abandoned his relationship with them, their covenant, like a marriage. And he uses Hosea to do that. But in this verse, he's saying, go again and love a woman who has loved another man. So he's saying, what I'm going to do is I'm going to go love Israel, even though Israel has cheated on me, left me, turned their face away from me, worshiped other gods, right? And he's saying, go love a woman like that, because that's what I'm going to do. God has always loved Israel, and he's not going to stop. That hasn't changed. I don't care what anyone says. God still loves Israel. Okay. Now, he loves the whole world, right? He said that. So this isn't to say like, oh, he loves Israel more. But for anyone to say that God doesn't love Israel, they haven't read the word of God.
Yeah.
Because right here, it says the Lord loves the children of Israel, and he has not changed his mind on this. And so at minimum, we should also love mm-hmm. the children of Israel. We should mm-hmm. look at Israel, the Jews, and say, man, I love those people. Because think about this. You should, Jennifer, you sent me a video of these Christian, what were they? They were Messianic Jews. They were mm-hmm. Christian Jews. Mm-hmm. So they're Jew so they were Christians, but they were Jewish. So they loved Jesus, and they're just talking about why that, what their faith means and how they fit into the picture. And they talked about how Jesus was a Jew. All the apostles were Jews. The first Christians, guess who they were? Jews. And that's an incredible thing. We cannot forget that as people of Christ. We cannot just throw that out and be like, nope, it's always been Gentiles only. No, actually, the first church started with Jews. Jesus himself was one. All of the apostles, Paul included, Jew. And so when I think about it saying God loves Israel, I think we should have a heart for Israel. And babe, I've loved seeing you because you love learning about Israel.
I find it fascinating.
History,
yeah.
And reading about what's going on in Israel and the people
and the
language even.
I pay attention to headlines in the news for like recent discoveries and stuff because they have unearthed.
You're talking about excavations.
Yeah, much history and things that support the Bible and the history of the Bible. And so I have a love for Israel.
So at minimum, friends, we should love Israel also. I don't know what that means, but we should love those people just like we love everyone. But we should look at it and say, man, God loves Israel. I pray that there's a mass revival in Israel, that the Jewish nation would come to know the Lord in droves, that they would recognize that the God that they worship sent his son Jesus mm-hmm. to be the Messiah. He was the Messiah. He was the anointed one. He was the Christ, theirs and ours.
Yeah. All right, let's jump into the next one.
Okay, so number 6 is John 16:27. This is Jesus talking, and he says, "For the Father himself loves you because you have loved me and have believed that I came from God." And guess who he's talking to?
The disciples.
He's talking to his disciples. So he's saying, "For the Father himself loves you, disciples, because you have loved me and have believed that I came from God." And what's awesome about this is because the disciples believed before everyone else did, mm-hmm. before Jesus even died on the cross or ascended into heaven or showed himself to them after he resurrected, they believed. And I think that's an incredible thing because we believe and get to have the Holy Spirit right now. They believed amidst him being alive and walking with them as a man.
Mm-hmm.
Like imagine if a man was standing right next to you right now. He's like, I'm Jesus, I'm the Messiah. And you're like, excuse me, are you sure about that? So they believed then.
Mm-hmm.
They were some of the first to believe. And he's just pointing out, he's like, God, my Father loves you because you have believed that he sent me
mm-hmm.
and you love me. And so God loved the disciples.
They had a big job to do.
They had a huge job. They literally were starting the church and giving the full revelation of Jesus Christ to the world
mm-hmm.
through the epistles, through Paul, through the letters that we were going to receive after Jesus ascended into heaven.
And if they weren't fully convinced of God's love, none of that would have happened.
Nothing. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And so I want to point out something. If there's any of the disciples' writings in the Bible that you have qualm with for some reason, just know this. God loves the disciples and he loves the things that he wrote, they wrote, and he loves their epistles. And so when we read the New Testament and we read letters from the disciples and we read their gospel accounts, we can know that they are true, and we should, right? Mm-hmm. So I just wanted to give a little bit of credibility, extra credibility. Like if you've had any doubt before, do not doubt mm-hmm. that the word of God is inerrant and perfect and breathed and inspired by God.
All right. So the last one we're going to share with you guys, maybe we should have started with because possibly, he's been yeah. from the beginning, but God loves his son. They are one and
yeah,
in love.
So John 10:17, for this reason, the Father loves me. Again, this is Jesus talking, because I lay down my life that I may take it up again.
He loves his son. Another one is John 15:9. As the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. And then he tells us very specifically, abide in my love.
So God loves his son, mm-hmm. Jesus. Therefore, we should too.
Yeah.
It's a simple one, but these are the handful of verses that I found that specifically say something that God loves. Mm-hmm. And I think they should, I mean, apparently they're notable. Like, oh, these are specific. It's almost like the gospel story. There's justice. There's his word. There's
righteousness.
There's his disciples. There's
being a cheerful giver.
The world. There's giving, because for God so loved the world, he gave cheerfully his son. Think about it. Yeah. All of these things have something to do with each other.
It's cool.
So it just makes this one big picture of the gospel, right? The mm-hmm. good news of Jesus Christ and the salvation we receive in him because we've believed in him. Mm-hmm. And so fun little episode talking.
It's
essentially like a little study that I went through. And I want to encourage our listeners to dig in themselves as a couple, figure out, you know, how these can apply to your life. What more deeper meaning can you find in them? Follow the rabbit trails. When you see those little letters next to the words, in some of these verses, those are called a cliff note or footnotes. You look at that letter and it relates to another scripture, and go find that other scripture and follow those little trails and see what you come up with.
We also just want to encourage you to consider how God's love is truly transformational. Like Aaron said, all of these verses that we shared today, have to do with each other, have to do with the gospel. And that is what has changed us as believers and has transformed our lives and also has transformed our marriages. And I would hope you guys would be a testament of that same power. And so look at your life, look at your marriage, look at your spouse and see how God's love has transformed you guys. Talk about it.
Yeah. And let it continue to transform you.
Yeah.
I feel like the more I learn about God, his word, his son, Jesus, the gospel, his love for me, the more I want to change, the more humble I become, the more I want to give up all of anything that's of myself. And it's a slow process at times, but when I think about how much he's forgiven in me, how much he's justified me, what he's given me for something I could never pay for, it makes me want more of him. Mm-hmm. And so that's our prayer for you. Speaking of prayer, we like to end our episodes in prayer. And so we're going to do that right now. Would you join us? Dear Lord, thank you for your steadfast love. Thank you for loving us even yet while we were still sinners. Thank you for showing us in your word what you love. We pray that we would abide in your love every day. We pray your love would manifest in our hearts and pour into our relationships with others. May your love change us and transform us. May your love radically impact our marriages by the way we love our spouse. Help us to understand even more deeply your love for us and receive it with a humble heart. We pray we would show you our love by obeying your word and keeping it. In Jesus' name, amen. Guys, thank you so much for joining us on this episode. As usual, I just want to remind you, please leave us a review and a rating. And also, we look forward to having you next week.
Did you enjoy today's show? If you did, it would mean the world to us if you could leave us a review on iTunes. Also, if you're interested, you can find many more encouraging stories and resources at marriageaftergod.com, and let us help you cultivate an extraordinary marriage.
Hey, Marriage After God friends. Thank you for your continued faithfulness and listening each and every week. Jennifer and I have often shared with you about how important prayer is in the life of a believer. It's so important, in fact, that we're told this in 1 Thessalonians. Rejoice always. Pray without ceasing. Give thanks in all circumstances, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. It is God's will for us to pray, and we want to inspire you to begin praying for your spouse and marriage every day. This world hates marriage, and so does our enemy, because he knows the power that your marriage is meant to have in this world. He knows that if you and your spouse are praying and chasing boldly after God together, that the impact Christ will have in and through you will be powerful. So we need to be praying more than ever before. Our heart is to encourage you, along with everyone who listens to this show, to be praying for your spouses and your marriages, to be strengthened, renewed, healed, prepared, and empowered to do the ministry that God has for you to do in this world together. So, Jennifer and I would love to invite you to join with thousands of other couples in taking our 31-day marriage prayer challenge. This is a completely free and fun way to build a habit of prayer in your marriage. All you have to do to join is visit marriageprayerchallenge.com and fill out the registration form. Once you do that, you will begin to receive an email every day from us during the 31 days to not only remind you to pray for your spouse, but we'll also give you various topics and prompts to help you know what to pray for. We dare your marriage to start praying like never before. Start the challenge today at marriageprayerchallenge.com.